Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, how did your mother maintain distance between herself and you? Record and listen. And Sherry, before we go on to our first caller, just a report from the technical support team around people's inability to get onto the queue.
Mm-hmm.
There is an issue with the Start Meeting app where the button, the Q&A button, is grayed out. We submitted a ticket. We don't have a resolution, but there is a way to get the dial pad up and still get into the queue from the app. So just to let people know that that is an ongoing issue, and we have not, we don't know when they're going to resolve it.
Okay. How do people do that? Is that too difficult to explain, or is it obvious to everybody but me?
Actually, it is. There's a way in which that you can click on the menu button on the top of the screen, and then open up the dial pad, and there's a way to press *6 and get on the queue.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay. Good.
Rather than Thank just you. Click on the Q&A button.
Okay, got it. Okay. That would have never occurred to me. All right. Good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Jamie in Delaware.
Hello, Jamie.
Hello. I'm glad to be here. In regards to my mother and maintaining distance, my perception is that there was a certain type of emotional distance that she maintained. She's still alive. She's 92. But,
oh, my goodness.
I mean, she did a lot of things for me. She was fairly kind most of the time, if not all the time. But I always still feel there's a little bit of a distance there. She never said that she loves me. I mean, she would show it, but she would never say it. And I've also felt that there's a little bit of a conditional aspect to love, but it's subtle and it's not. It's not obvious, but she was clear she had certain expectations about how one behaves socially, and you know, would want certain things from me, but they weren't huge things. And I know she likes my time and attention, which is natural, but you know, these are things that...
Jamie?
Yeah.
Did it feel like it was more approval than love? That if you,
that I wanted
if you,
from her?
Well, that if you met the standards, she approved of you.
Yeah, there was some of that, because if she disagrees with me or tells me I've done something wrong, I can get a little bit angry or
defensive.
Defensive or just not feel as good.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't do that a whole, in big ways or a lot. I can't say she ever did anything terrible to me.
Uh-huh. But she just wasn't there in that, I'll put language to what you're saying, then you can correct me. But kind of an unconditionally, I love you no matter what. It sounds like it was a little more based on... you being the right person. And
yes.
If you're the right person, then there's no disapproval. There is approval, but there isn't I just love you because you exist feel to
exactly.
The relationship.
That's what I feel now. Maybe some of that I exaggerate in my own mind, but that's what I feel, yes.
Uh-huh.
And it's not huge. It's not like something
yeah.
major.
Subtle.
It's subtle. And I just never felt that she was quite cross that line to ever say it's unconditional. Or I just love you for who you are. But again, it's
and
subtle.
So curiosity question here. Are you able to tell her that you love her and appreciate her?
That word love, I can use it so easily with my wife, but with her, it's hard to do that. I think I have done it on a couple of occasions. But we show a level of concern for each other.
Well, it might be a kind of an interesting awareness workshop to give it a try, see what happens.
Right. Yeah, I definitely think that would be. And there's a part of me, interestingly enough, that finds it very easy to do that with my wife, but finds a lot of resistance to do that with my mother.
So to take that step and just see what else is revealed there.
Exactly, because there's something there.
I wouldn't
be so resistant.
That you can't quite put your finger on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well,
to work on.
Onward and upward.
Yeah, onward we go.
All right. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you. Go happy.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thanks, Jamie. I think it's just so fascinating, right, Sherry, just to see the process. Okay, there's resistance here. This is what I experience here. This is how it's different towards this person. And I don't know about this, but the more I practice, the more the focus of the attention becomes directed towards what is the barrier to love. And not to love a person necessarily, but the barrier to love. And that resistance is a clue simply that a barrier exists and that I have the opportunity to explore it to see what might be in the way of that unconditional love, which is a process and not a feeling and not necessarily directed towards an object. And it's just so wonderful to have these exercises mirror where the barriers have existed that we haven't even noticed before.
Because what you're saying is it's my love. It actually isn't dependent upon anyone or anything else. So where am I not allowed to experience my love?
That's exactly right. Where am I not allowed to be unconditionally loving? Because
to just be in unconditional love.
That's a better way of saying it. Be in unconditional love. Then the attention is on the process that we're looking at or exploring.
What that does, Ashwini, to me is it takes out any blame or judgment. It doesn't say anything about me that I am not unconditionally, that I'm not in unconditional love in this circumstance. What I get to see is this is my opportunity to see how that unconditional love is being withheld, is made unavailable to me. So that's my motivation for getting to unconditional love. Not that I'm a bad person because I'm not experiencing unconditional love.
And that exact way you said it, that I'm not a bad person for not experiencing unconditional love, reveals the process that we're up against, which is that love is conditional.
Small L.
And that's really, that's right. That really is what we're getting past, that it's it's dependent on something. For me to feel it and for it to be felt for me.
Well, subtle stuff.
Thank you, Jamie. Here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, this is Greta.
Good morning, Greta.
Good morning.
What are you seeing?
You,
what are you see?
Well, that was a really helpful discussion because I was kind of hard and fast in my perspective about my mother. My mother, for various reasons, really did not separate well from me. My father was absent, and my mother was, I think she had sort of a love-hate relationship with me because I was a reminder of my absent father who chose to be absent, and yet somehow, you know, there was some need that I was going to fill somehow. So for me, I had to work really hard and fight to distance myself from her, to have any individuation as a, you know, to say, no, I don't think that, or I don't feel that, or I don't want that. I have these other ideas myself.
So kind of a sense that you being an extension of her, she was going to perhaps live out a different life from the one she'd had so far through you.
Yeah, I think we could look at it like that. And
give you her ideas and feelings and
sure.
make you another her.
Right. And these are the right. This is the right way to be, and these are the right things to do, and you have to do it this way. Very controlling in that. And to now see myself as an adult, still feeling like I can't be close to people, and I have to hold my distance, or if I somehow get close to somebody, then I have to back away because there's a threat there.
They'll just take you over.
Yeah. So to really see that playing out, you know, without conscious awareness, although I certainly have seen it, just to be reminded that this thing, that this behavior that was imprinted on me, this need to fight for myself is...
for your individuality.
Right. Yeah. But then to be suckered into, you know, self-hate and conditioning that, you know, nobody likes you and nobody wants to be your friend and you're not, you know, you're not warm and fuzzy with other people, you know, so to be wrong on all counts, really.
Yeah, well, that's there. You stated perfectly ego's best outcome.
Right.
That there will be a way that you will be wrong in everything about you and every direction you pursue.
Sure.
Yeah. So you have to stay separate. And then if you stay separate, it means this. It's really quite perfect, isn't it? It's just not so perfect for the human being.
Right. And I guess the other thing that I thought of when I was listening to a previous caller was just how generational the whole concept of love is, in the idea of maybe what we think of as the right way to love and raise your children. When, you know, my mother grew up in the Depression and they didn't have anything. So,
yes.
And they actually were lucky that my grandfather had a job, but just that idea that for maybe two generations back, well, you know, love and shelter and food and the minimum, you know, you got the minimum if you were lucky.
Yeah. It was a lot. Because everybody, and that's another really important point, I think, for us doing this kind of work, is to realize nobody was having a good, easy time.
Right.
That has never been the case. The many of the incredibly indulged children of the last 10 years or 20 years or whatever cannot look at their parents and think they were having an easy time of it either, even though it appears that life is so easy.
Right.
If that was not too obscure. Yeah. And so we look at people who are getting up every day trying to figure out how to feed these kids, how to keep a roof over their heads, how to and looking forward to the most uncertain of all futures and trying to then be loving and nurturing. And it's a tall order.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a really good reminder to us when we're struggling to come up with that, that it is a tall order, and it requires awareness practice to get to that.
Yes, and that we are, again, as we remind ourselves often, we are so fortunate that we have the time, the space, all of the conditions have come together for us to look at these really subtle things in our lives, transformative, subtle things in our lives that other people just don't get to do for whatever combination of reasons.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I am extremely grateful for the opportunity to talk to you and Ashwini this morning.
Your mother is still here? Gone?
No, my mother's been gone for many years.
Uh-huh. Okay, and so, of course, we don't know where people go or what they're doing. but even at whatever point we realize, I never saw this before. I can see that my perceptions have not been completely accurate. I don't know. I just, it's one of those sending blessings of gratitude because I know everybody is always doing the best they can do.
Yeah,
wherever that goes, maybe there's a mother out there receiving that. Maybe it's just a blessing for all of the rest of us. But to bring conscious awareness to that, I think is can be healing.
Yeah, to have that healing, to be able to extend that, and then have include myself in that so that I'm not afraid to be interacting with people.
That's right.
You'll be able to have that pleasure. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greta.
Okay.
Thanks, Greta.
Bye-bye.
And that so demonstrates what we were looking at with the previous caller, right, Sherry, that in doing that, in sending those blessings out, that place, that barrier that exists in me just fell.
Yes.
That survival, that self-hate, that negation, that whatever it was that created that barrier in me, through awareness practice, that barrier falls. And as you said, the first place it falls is here. It becomes now returned to the unconditional and available unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we still have practice ahead of us, because what we get to see in these explorations is how subtle this is. Now, we look at, one or two or three, whatever it is, of these very subtle places. There are no doubt thousands. Of conclusions, decisions, karmic influences, ego identification, all these things that come together to create the view that we have of life, and to just recognize I may not be exactly on target with all of this. Mm-hmm. There might be more for me to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's exciting.
It is exciting. It is, because it just means more love.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Ashwini and Sherry. This is Diane in Colorado. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Diane, how are you?
Happy to be here.
Good.
So, Diane, we are experiencing that echo again.
I tried to log in on my computer, but I had computer problems, so I'm on my phone. I can try and go outside and see if that helps.
Are you on speaker or earbuds? Or
think I'm on speaker, and on the app, I'm not sure I know how to get off speaker.
Well, if you put in earbuds, if you are on your app, it might help.
Okay. Let me try that.
We didn't lose her, did we?
Oh, no, she's still here. An echo.
You couldn't hear me.
Ah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Ooh. Yes.
Okay, is this any better? I'm going to try and go outside.
Well, I think we've got a hideous echo, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I'm outside. Is this any better?
Let's see. It's when I talk that we really hear the echo. You actually sound fine.
Yeah, and you sound fine to me.
Okay, can we go into that, Winnie?
Sure.
Okay, we'll just do our best, Diane. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing how it changed over time. Back to this question. I think when I was very, very little, there was complete distance because my mother didn't quite know what to do with a baby and was overwhelmed. So she just didn't do a whole lot. And then when I got older and more interesting to her, then we were just too close to the point where I had to do what the last caller was talking about and sort of extricate and define myself, because we weren't differentiated at that point, it felt like. And now at this point, it's kind of gone back to the beginning where my mother doesn't want to talk to me or be with me or even connect with me very much.
Uh-huh. And what do you project onto her? I mean, do you think this really does have something to do with you, or is it just kind of how and where she is in human evolution?
Internet connection is unstable right now.
I think a lot of it is how and who she is. Her second husband had a lot of kids, and he wasn't close to them and kind of dissuaded her from having the closer relationship that she had with me and my brother. And I think, and then it became unsafe for her to have any emotional vulnerability. And so she, you know, with him or with anyone. So she could talk to her stockbroker, but not really to, you know, like a professional relationship she can do, but like a close personal relationship, she's no longer feels safe there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I project onto it.
Mm-hmm. And as we were talking about earlier with Jamie, are you able to do what you can to bridge that gap?
I have tried, and not been effective to date. I have told her that I would like a closer relationship with her. And maybe and I haven't been able to succeed in that. I don't know how to do that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And she would like to connect with me right now by doing something competitive, and I explained to her that, like, if that's our only connection, that doesn't feel good to me.
So something competitive, like you're going to enter a race together? Or?
No, like playing words with friends, that online crossword puzzle thing where every game has a winner and a loser, and you're trying to score points against one another. And
Hmm. You might see if there's a teen version of that. You and your mom could make a team.
Yeah, that would be much more appealing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't really know. I'm open to any thoughts about skillful ways to reach out to her. She's 83 and going like gangbusters, but she's not going to be around forever, just like none of us are, and I would like to.
But may I offer a? Do you have a like a texting or an emailing relationship with her?
Yes.
Okay. So this just dropped in, and you know, it's not even an assignment. But to with this work that we've been doing, with the you know what are the best things your mother ever said to you, or your favorite moments, or your whatever it is, let yourself start recalling those. And then just send her a little quick email. Say, you know, you can tell her, I'm doing this work where we're looking at all of the favorite memories from childhood and the best things about our parents. And this is one that I remembered, and I just wanted to let you know. And just periodically, you know, regularly, send those to her and see what happens.
That's a good idea. I was thinking of sending her my recording, the Happy Childhood Memories, which that was a very interesting process for me because first I was like, I don't have any, and then it was really great to open up to, well, actually, you do, and to keep onto that. But I think sending that to her would be sort of overwhelming in your idea of...
Yeah, just a quick little, I remember the time we were at such and such, and you said, and it just... Whatever. And always on the making her the kind of hero of the piece and letting her know all of the things about her that you appreciate.
Yes.
All right. Let us know. Let me know, okay?
All right.
If you decide to take it on, let me know.
I will take it on.
All right. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Diane.
You know, what drops in for me around that, right, Cherry, is that if we want to connect, there's a way in which it's not conditional, in that the quality of the connection is not what it's about. It's that we are connected.
Yes, and the willingness for us to step beyond ego in order to do that gives us the experience that we're looking for. And I think that translates directly to people. By osmosis, people get the unconditional nature of that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it seems to be the theme of the show, which is that the work we're doing now frees us.
Yes. Yes.
From the conditioning that we were subject to.
Yes.
And or the conditioning, we could just stop there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It frees us from our ego identification. What it does for anybody else, we can only be hopeful.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that it's a bamboozle, that it's going to change anything, you know, change anything that is perceived as will change because somehow the other we're different.
Yeah. Yeah, there comes ego. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Here comes ego. Now we're out of the process is the outcome, and we're into I'm doing this for an outcome, and that's just never going to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm talking is that we have 1 minute left, and we don't have time for another caller. So
I see. Okay, well, all right.
Our exercise for today, how did your father maintain distance between himself and you, according to this?
And then today is Friday, so we have two more, Saturday, Sunday. And if all goes as we hope, we'll get to look at all of that on Monday.
Exactly.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
And enjoy.